Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin. We're answering your questions as we do on a weekly basis. This is a weekly feature, Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. And you can submit your questions. And, you know, there may be a week or two before we get to your questions, but usually not too terrible a wait. Worst case scenario, you'll listen to a Q&A with Layla wherein your question's not answered, but eventually it probably will be.
Yes, yes. We have an email from Larry. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, Happy New Year! Happy New Year, Larry. I was just perusing the Full Script shop and noticed that most vitamin K formulations come in a 100 microgram dosage. Would this mean that I should take two capsules for an adequate amount? I remember a previous show where it was discussed, and you both concur, that about 180 micrograms is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about vitamin K.
Yes.
So vitamin K, we learned in med school and you learned in nutrition study, it stands for Coagulation. Which is German for coagulation. And, you know, like the, when they spell America in German with a K,
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, just a C is a K in German. So vitamin K is responsible for blood clotting. Now, you might think that vitamin K taking too much would cause you to clot. It's actually the converse. It's not enough vitamin K will cause you to hemorrhage. An adequate vitamin K will normalize your clotting, but too much vitamin K won't promote clotting unless you're on a deliberate blood thinning medication called Coumadin or warfarin, wherein the K will neutralize the warfarin. The K does not interfere with some of the newer drugs, such as, what are some of the newer drugs?
Eliquis.
Yeah. And
Pradaxa.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the new medications that are not effective.
They're
not effective. So, but there are other benefits to vitamin K, and there's actually three types of vitamin K. There's K1, K2, and K3. So K1, you get from fruits and vegetables, basically.
Mostly from a lot of leafy greens, which is really good for like homeostasis.
And that's why they used to say don't eat leafy greens when you're taking Coumadin, but that's a mistake because you can have a certain amount. If you have a consistent amount every day, it's, you know, your medication will not be
effective. So you want to keep it at a consistent amount every day.
Don't just go eat, you know.
Don't eat a bag of kale when you didn't eat a bag of kale before.
Yeah.
Not that you should eat a bag of kale.
I mean, if you're just, if you're surviving on a diet of donuts and pizza and then one day you decide I'm going to get really healthy and I'm going to have like, a, you know, 2 pounds of broccoli, you might have, that might affect your your pro time, which is the clotting. So anyway, so that's K1.
Yeah.
And then there's K2. And K2 is the interesting one because we tend to think of it as kind of a crossing guard for calcium. It seems to keep calcium in your bones and keep it away from your arteries. A little bit of an oversimplification, but that seems to be how it regulates calcium metabolism. And there's K3, and K3 is less well known, and it may have some immune benefits in terms of cancer.
And now the K2 is primarily found in meat and cheese.
Right.
The K3.
And in a weird product that a lot of people think is stinky, which is tempeh and
natto,
which is an acquired taste for sure because it's a Japanese fermented product that is sort of like soy cheese.
And something
it's,
like that.
It's good. It's sort of stringy, like melted, you know, Parmesan cheese kind of thing. And it natto is actually a good source of vitamin K. And then when now the confusion is that there's a subtype of vitamin K2.
Okay.
Which is called MK7. And yes. That's what you want when you want cardiovascular prevention and bone health.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Metoquinone?
Yeah, something like yeah.
Something like that.
Boy, really digging deep for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I could call it MK7.
MK7.
But you're right. Easier. It is metoquinone.
Hey, I tried deglycerated.
If you can pronounce that, you get an honorary master's degree in nutrition.
Thank you.
Right.
Wait, I have one.
All right. Okay. You get a second one for pronunciation. So the MK7, the effective dose is, we think it's about 180 micrograms per day, as opposed to milligrams.
Right.
A microgram is 1/1000th of a milligram, which in turn is 1/1000th of a gram, which in turn is 1/1000th of a kilogram.
Yeah.
That's the metric system. So, you know, back to the question, 100 is not bad.
Yeah.
You know, you take two a day.
Yeah, taking two a day is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm. So we give that to patients for cardiovascular prevention and for bone health.
For bone health, cardiovascular. Yes, those are the main things for vitamin K, actually. Mm-hmm.
And when it was as to vitamin K1, I don't even know if you need to take supplements of vitamin K1.
Eat a salad.
Eat fresh fruits
and
vegetables.
Eat some spinach and eat some greens.
You'll be getting that.
You're getting your K1 there.
Yeah.
And that's basically,
yeah.
I almost want to call it the wallpaper vitamin K. It's kind of like this is in the background. It's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be there just like that. So eating a good amount of produce is helpful that way. All right.
But there's pretty good studies on vitamin K2. MK7 on osteoporosis prevention.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, again, it's, as you said, but the simplified version, it's driving the calcium into the bones, keeping it away from the coronary arteries, possibly keeping it away from soft tissue like breast.
Okay.
Where it could be called suspicious calcification, all of that. So, yeah, Larry, about a 200 microgram dose would do you. Absolutely. Okay.
It's a good point at which to pause because we'd like to give one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. So please listen up. As a health conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ advantage is their unique mortality model on the health conscious and lower rates for health conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. Please check them out because, they're what make this podcast available to you as a free resource. So support our sponsors. Thanks. And now back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, our Q&A with Layla. And Layla, what's our next question?
Wow, Dr. Hoffman. Well, this is interesting. Lewis writes, what effect will the ketogenic diet have on a 2-centimeter diameter cyst in the left kidney near the colon?
Well,
we
have to assume to the left kidney versus the right. It might work on the right kidney, but on the left kidney, So this person's being very specific, but I think we can just kind of like draw back and say, this is a cyst, right? Mm-hmm. A cystic tumor. So it's not a cancerous tumor.
No, a 2-centimeter cyst.
Well, I would say that the effect would be negligible, possibly. A cyst is basically a fluid-filled sac.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a diet can make a cyst resorb.
Hmm.
But you know, what's interesting is that if it were to be a cancerous tumor, there's actually some evidence that a ketogenic diet might be beneficial. That's why this person's probably asking, because they heard, well, you know, if it's helpful for cancer, maybe it's helpful for the cyst, which is a tumor.
Yeah.
Tumors is frankly a Greek word, which means, or a Latin word, which means
some
a growth.
Some people hear tumor and think automatically cancer.
Yeah. No, tumor means a swelling, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you have an injury, mm-hmm. or an inflammation, it's good, you know, tumor, rubor, and calor, which is Latin for tumor, swelling, rubor, which is red, and calor means it's hot. So that's an inflammation. Those are the characteristics according to, I don't know, Galen or Hippocrates or somebody in the you know, Latin, you know, Hippocrates, of course, was a Greek. I think it was Galen who figured that out. He's a Greek version of Hippocrates.
You're definitely the answer man.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to obscure information, but ask me the name of the movie star that was in the movie that I just, I know, like, I kids, like, I, what's his name? I mean, I
that him, actor.
Everybody knows him. Tom Cruise.
Right. Something like that. So, I guess, a fluid-filled cyst, if we can assume that it's that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say that there's probably not a great prospect for that resolving with a ketogenic diet. Of course, you know, we've done podcasts recently on ketogenic diet for cancer.
Yeah.
There was a book entitled that, and we interviewed the author recently.
Thomas Seyfried as well.
And Thomas Seyfried, who we've interviewed, who is really the intellectual progenitor of that notion. He's a physician who's written a book called The Metabolic Basis of Cancer or something like that.
Right. Cancer is a metabolic disease.
Cancer is a metabolic disease is what it's called.
Everybody's on the genome and the genetic bandwagon,
right.
But it's not about that, that it's more metabolism. So a ketogenic diet may help with cancer in that cancer depends on our blood sugar for angiogenesis, to grow, to be malignant, all of that to spread. A ketogenic diet is basically starving the cancer of the blood glucose that it needs.
In short, we could say to this listener, the problem is you don't have cancer.
Yeah.
If only you had cancer.
If only you had cancer,
it might do some good. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry
God
to
forbid.
Say.
Okay.
God forbid. We can
God
say
forbid.
That. Toy.
So, yes.
Right.
Anyway, so, Lewis, that's a very interesting question. And hopefully you will fare well. Okay. Ketogenic diet is still healthy for you and anyone else
it
for that matter.
It wouldn't hurt.
It
might
hurt.
Not help, but it wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt. Okay. We've got an email from Julie. Hi, Layla, Dr. Hoffman. Have you read the February 2018 Consumer Reports on green tea extract and green tea? It states that an excess in catechins appears to harm the liver.
Well, what I first would say is that I read Consumer Reports if I want to buy like a dishwasher, a refrigerator,
the next laptop,
maybe a
computer.
Car, a laptop, or a printer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very biased.
It is
in terms of nutrition reporting.
Yeah,
and they often report on the uselessness of supplements or the safety issues associated with supplements in a lurid kind of way that is very misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
And they will often reach for some arch foe of supplementation for a quote without getting a balanced quote from someone who's a proponent of supplements, which is basically good journalism. I learned in junior high school, I took journalism, I was on the school paper. And, you know, they would say, okay, you got this quote from this person, now get the opposite view and get a balanced view. And so I learned that as a journalistic principle. I don't see that anymore in journalism.
No, it's all gone.
And
they need you.
Right.
They need you out there.
Yeah.
So Julie tells us that Consumer Reports believe it to be potentially harmful, the catechins in green tea, and have included it on their top 15 supplements to always avoid.
No, but of course it's ridiculous. But I will say there's a kernel of truth to that, is that high dose concentrated EGCG may be contraindicated in people who have liver disease.
Okay.
So I avoid it. I would say you could drink a couple of cups of green tea if you have liver disease, but don't guzzle, you know, 10 or 12 cups.
Don't have a barrel of it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But in normal people, it's very safe for the liver. And in fact, I've read articles that say that green tea may be beneficial for fatty liver, which is a liver condition. It actually is in the literature that's beneficial. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in this 30 plus year career I've had, I've never seen anyone, and I have so many patients who take EGCG green tea. It's one of our leading products, mm-hmm. one of our best sellers. I've never had a patient show any liver abnormalities from taking it.
I personally take it.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen that happen. So what these people are reporting on is something theoretical.
Yes.
And comes from a place of, let's tell people about the perils of supplementation.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Because, you know, I like to trust Consumer Reports for the next dishwasher or washing machine I'm going to get. Now, that throws a wrench into all of that. Okay. But as far as green tea, it could be the most potent antioxidant chemotherapeutic agent out there.
Yeah.
As well.
I mean, we can take a whole podcast to enumerate the benefits of green tea. And, you know, anti-cancer benefits. I mean, they're just mm-hmm. really racking up the benefits of green tea. So, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so, Julie.
Misinformation.
Yeah, it's misinformation. Don't be afraid of good quality green tea or your green tea supplement. Okay. We have, this is very interesting, from Arlene. Arlene is an 80-year-old woman who has an ulcer on her foot below the ankle bone.
Mm-hmm.
Arlene says it's existed for a year, and she's been active. She's 80, she's been active until this problem showed up. She does still, however, do yoga. She spent November biking. She's walking in Florida. And it began as a shoe rubbed this area.
This is the problem, is that as you get older, you really have to be careful about your feet. Because your healing ability, especially in the feet, because of venous circulation, is impaired. And it's almost inevitable. Mm. Some people more than others. It's just a gravitational effect.
Right.
And, you know.
She has varicose veins,
And she has varicose veins, which we know she has venous we call it venous insufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to see is a slowed healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that could be worsened if you have diabetes. That's double trouble.
She's on a very good diet. She avoids dairy, wheat, eggs. She's allergic. She takes Propax with NT Factor plus many other vitamins. There's no meat in her diet, which is her choice. And get this, she's in the care of a local wound center for maggot therapy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
This is like, we're going back to like the dark ages here.
Oh, is it like leeches? And
yeah.
That's so interesting. She's free of infection. She takes care of it. She's very careful with it, bathes it twice a day, sterile technique. She's to see a vein specialist next, and she's worried about what they might tell her to do.
Let's talk about maggot therapy.
Maggot therapy. So that sounds terrible.
Sounds icky. Okay,
yeah,
so what
icky.
Maggots do is, you know, if you ever seen, you know, the horror movie, you know, Tales from the Crypt, you know, and you know, they open up the coffin, and it's like crawling with maggots, you know, like the maggots are coming out of the eyeballs. And what they do is they eat flesh.
Mm.
They just devour flesh. Which in this case is good because it creates a natural debridement. Now, debridement comes from the French word. Well, it's called, in French, it's debridement.
Debridement.
Or debridement. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you say tomato, I say tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Debridement is the carving away of dead tissue, which is essential to healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually promotes healing when you do debridement. Now, there's something about that maggot therapy has been reintroduced. They sell, you know, they don't just say, you know, like, sit outside in the, you know, in the yard and wait for the flies to lay eggs on your wound. They actually have specially bred sterile, you know, maggots that they sell for medical purposes.
Wow.
And so this is a plausible therapy. Here's another one. The FDA just approved the first ever shockwave device to promote healing. So it's a historic milestone. It's the first treatment device that uses shockwaves to promote healing. And they did it on the basis of double-blind studies using 336 patients as test subjects. They had this kind of, they had diabetic foot ulcers. And they, it worked. It worked for promoting healing. The patients who received the real shockwave therapy demonstrated a significantly higher wound closure rate versus their peers. Now, it wasn't like 100%. The ones who got the shockwave treatment had 44% healing versus the ones who had sham treatment, which was 30%. But that's enough to show that there was some effect.
Wow.
So this is another breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Other potential breakthroughs, they use growth factors that can be applied. They're very expensive. There's synthetic growth factors that are bioengineered that that cause a epidermal growth factor, which actually causes the skin to regenerate.
Wow.
You know, they're probably working to figure out what it is that salamanders have that makes them regrow limbs. And, you know, biotechnology may come up with answers for these types of problems.
Wow.
The problem is when circulation is impaired, because it's very hard to have healing when you have poor circulation. So anything that promotes circulation, that's probably how this the shock waves work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one thing that does help, and it's actually been shown, is testosterone actually helps wound healing. But
wow.
It's limited, because I once had a woman with a very bad foot ulcer, and I said, would you like to try this? And I tried it with her, and she came back, and she had this funny look in her face, and I said, well, how'd it work? She said, well, it really helped to heal my foot, but I felt these very uncomfortable feelings. And she was an older woman. She was a widow, and she was probably in her 80s. And she was unhappy that apparently
she didn't come back with a deeper voice.
No, her libido was kind of rekindled by it.
Ah.
So, yeah. But she found that an undesirable effect because she thought that had been something that was in the rearview mirror along with her dear departed husband. And
yeah.
Anyway, so it's more plausible therapy for males,
mm-hmm.
it does promote circulation.
Mm. Fascinating.
Also, chelation therapy could be a possibility. Therapy. I've had patients who have circulatory problems have better healing after they've had chelation therapy, which seems to promote circulation.
You think the varicose veins that she has would exacerbate or?
Well, no, the varicose veins are, I mean, chelation won't do much for veins. It'll work for arteries that mm-hmm. are blocked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Arlene, wow, we hope you feel better soon. Good luck with the maggot therapy. Write us back. Write us at radioprogram@AOL.com. Let us know how that went, how that worked.
Yeah, and I'll try and give you, let me just give you a lead on the, this is very new. And I don't know if you're going to be able to get the device that is the helpful device for this. It is called DermaPace.
P-A-C-E?
D-E-R-M-A-P-A-C-E. DermaPace is the system that delivers the shock waves. And the company that makes it is called Sanuwave, S-A-N-U-W-A-V-E. And it just received approval, so probably it'll be rolled out to some places. There are wound care centers.
Yeah.
You know, and places that specialize in wound care. The other thing I would strongly suggest, hyperbaric oxygen.
Hyperbaric oxygen.
Sure. Yeah, either in a bag around the leg or like total systemic hyperbaric oxygen where you sit in a pressurized chamber and you get high doses of oxygen, which then promote circulation. And, when you oxygenate tissue, that's basically you're oxygenating tissue that's rotting.
Yeah.
And you can thereby deliver healing to that. Intravenous vitamin C, by virtue of that, can also maybe promote healing.
Take it at least orally, some vitamin C.
There's some people
zinc.
Who promote ozone therapy, oxidative treatments, either in a bag or given intravenously. That's a plausible way. It's a little bit more way out and less mainstream.
Hmm. Okay. I believe she's in Florida, so she may be able to find it there as well.
Well, I hope that this helps. And, really, we do want to hear back from people who we've made some suggestions to, and we'd love to hear from you. It worked, it didn't work, your experience of our recommendations, because we get a little follow-up going, and then we can get the word out to people about, what's worth trying and what's implausible.
Yeah. Wow, Arlene, best of luck to you.
And thank you for sending those that interesting question. Okay, that's all the time that we have for today. But we thank you for listening, and want to remind you once again, check out our sponsors and support them. And thank you to Layla and those of you who are trying to make it through winter 2018. Stay warm.
Yes. Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.